from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Thursday. We are going to be doing a mailbag today to answer some of the questions you guys have been sending us. A lot of questions around the Chiefs this time of year, especially after a very hard playoff loss.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show today. We're going to try to go through your questions. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics, as well as an analyst over at Chiefs Digest. And want to make sure you guys understand what we're doing with our offseason plan. We're going to go through probably position reviews next week. We're going to start hitting on things that are coming up, identifying what the team needs to do, give you our opinions on that. I'm going to have a special for everybody, too, from RogueAPC.com. I will have last year's Athletic Matrix draft guide available for a buck. I haven't got that quite squared away, but keep an eye out for that. You can get an idea of what the athletic testing was for last year's class as we get ready for all the testing that's coming for this year's class.
And I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com, and I am also a staff writer at Arrowhead Addict. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. And like we said, we're going to do a draft, or we're going to do a little bit of a mailbag today. And answer some of the questions that are out there. And before we get to those, I do want to ask you the question. Obviously, with Bieniemy being hired, Andy Reid's not going anywhere. Did you ever think that there was did you ever sense that there was any chance that Andy Reid would be gone?
No, none. That extension has sealed his fate. He will be your head coach at least through 2020, unless some kind of unforeseen back-to-back seasons with less than four wins is where I think it really stands.
Yeah, and that's about where I was too. I didn't think that there was any way he was going to be leaving with the situation, and especially when you are bringing in a QB like Mahomes, you really want a coach that's going to be there. That's been there before and can develop a quarterback. And that's what I think Andy Reid can be. We have a question from LWOS Mike Wilson, and he asks, we're really stuck with Bob Sutton, aren't we?
You know, not necessarily. It looks like Andy is either going to ride it out with Bob Sutton or that there's some kind of ongoing discussions. I don't think all the options are gone. So you still could see a change at that DC position this year. Just have to kind of ride it out. I know it's an impatient part of the season, but just keep patient. I know there's at least one. I think there's actually two now that I look at it. Fake Ian Rappaport accounts out there. So make sure you check the name of the person you're reading, because one of the reports that Sutton might be retiring is completely fake, that as far as we know, as we're recording this late on a night when it was first posted.
Yep. Check for that verified symbol when you're looking at the big name guys that are out there, because they're all verified. Yeah, I never thought Andy Reid was going anywhere. I didn't think that that would be a move that Hunt would make. So and you know, we're going to continue down this path. You know, one of our new writers, Robert Remsen, asks in his Twitter handle is R Remp Sanity, top five Chiefs running backs ever.
That's a great question, and one that'll probably take us a little bit to figure out. Mine's going to be a little bit out there, but who's your top?
Right now, probably, and honestly, just because I can only remember watching so many over the years, probably Priest Holmes would probably be really close to the top of my list, if not the top. Well, I know you're a little bit older than me.
Make up your mind. Is he one or is he two?
I'd say he's one, just because he's the one that I can remember the most. I do remember seeing Christian Okoye, who I loved as a kid, but I just don't remember him running near as much as I remember seeing Priest Holmes.
Well, and I guess we should probably define what we're doing here. Is it what the top five backs in terms of how they run or how much they produced? Because if we're talking about stats, it's a pretty straightforward conversation, right?
Yeah, I'm taking it as who are your favorite running backs ever, or who do you think were the best running backs for Kansas City? And for my money right now, it was Priest Holmes was probably number one up there for me. Jamaal Charles is way up there too, probably number two. If not, that's really tough to make a choice between those two.
For me, I have to start with Okoye because of the dominance that he had at the time. Yes, Priest was very
good. Because you're old.
Well, there is that. Yeah, hey. Hey, life sucks. Men used to actually run on the ground back in my day. So let's get off my lawn, okay? But yeah,
did they wear leather helmets too?
You know, no face masks allowed.
Okay.
But
checking.
Those three guys are my top three as well. They're just a little bit different order. I would take Okoye because of how dominant he could be just with his physicality. Not to mention that he did have a stout line in front of him. I generally go back and forth between Priest Holmes and Jamaal Charles. I think because of the team that he had around him, I think I discount Priest Holmes a little bit because he had a lot more help.
Yes, he did.
I'll call them 2A and 2B, but they're definitely the top three for me.
Well, and who's 4 and 5? I really enjoyed watching Barry Word run as well. It wasn't near as pretty as it was watching, Christian Okoye bash some people. But I really enjoyed watching Barry Word when I was growing up.
I have to agree with you. He's my number four as well. A really, really underrated guy, I think, in the history of this franchise. Like what he was able to do as kind of a shift from what had been going on before and definitely what came after him. And then obviously rounding out the top five. And I'm going by performance on the field. It's got to be Larry Johnson for me because two outstanding seasons over 1,700 yards, ran with power, was able to catch the ball, did a little bit of everything. Yes, he was a bit of a mess or a lot of a mess off the field. But if y'all missed my talk with him from a couple weeks ago, go back and check that out. Definitely a player that's matured and can admit his mistakes. But if we're just talking about his performance, he's in my top five.
Yeah, I think he'd have to be in my top five too, although I really would like to put Kareem Hunt up there. And I know that seems a little premature, but just watching him run and watching his vision and watching him be able to do all the things he's able to do coming out of the backfield and catching the ball as well. And I think he's a lot better blocker than we thought he was going to be. And I think that just makes him a more complete player. And so he's quickly going to be rising up my list.
I agree. A couple of solid years where he can produce like this, and he will be in the discussion with the greats of this franchise.
The NFL playoffs are finally here, and I want to tell you guys about MyBookie.ag, the number one rated online sportsbook. With your fantasy football season over, the only way to use your sports knowledge to win cash is by betting at MyBookie, the sportsbook that makes it easy to deposit and even easier to cash out your winnings fast. They have odds on everything, live betting, and an all-new prop builder. Create your own bet slips, bet how you want. You bet your friends LeBron will score 30-plus and have 10 assists? Why not? Bet it at MyBookie and put your money where your mouth is. Bet from your desktop, tablet, or on their world-class mobile site that lets you bet anytime, anywhere. MyBookie offers the fastest, no-hassle payouts when you win. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Just use promo code LOCKEDON when making your account. Visit MyBookie.ag today and bet on the internet's favorite sportsbook. Where you play, you win, and you get paid.
Random thought, do you think Jay Howard was released in April before the draft as a strategic move to make teams think the Chiefs were trading up for a D lineman in the draft rather than a QB?
I personally don't. I think what they saw was the development of Chris Jones as well as R&R and simply didn't have the snap counts to go around.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that they also looked at the cost to keep him, and they really needed cap space at the time, and this is right before they were going and doing and releasing Jeremy Maclin as well. So I think that was most of what that was, and I think Andy Reid would still I'd like to have had Jay Howard, but obviously that didn't work out. And this is from Settiger Seth. Could the Chiefs use Hunt and Ware next year like the Saints use Ingram and Kamara? Both Hunt and Ware run hard and can catch out of the backfield. No tipping of the hand with who is on the field if a run or pass is called. Ware was bossing in 2016.
Yeah, I agree with you. He was playing very well in 2016. My only problem is that Ware and Hunt are very similar in their running style, with a modicum of power, low to the ground. You don't have that lightning to go with the thunder. And so it's a little bit tougher that way, but certainly, if you're talking about a timeshare that will help, Hunt in terms of his longevity by allowing Ware to have more carries, certainly, like you said, you're not giving anything away, who you have in the game. And I want to see a healthy committee split from there. Maybe bad for fantasy players, but I think it's good for this football team.
Yeah, definitely agree. I think that you're going to see a lot of Hunt and Ware. And, you know, we've talked about it. I've talked about it at least with Ryan, if not on the show, that I think that Ware could be in for some fullback snaps next year. He did come into Kansas City as a fullback, and I'm not saying he's going to run fullback and that's going to be his position. But I do think that having both of those guys on the field at the same time and being able to have Ware as your fullback and have a fullback that can run like he can and catch the ball out of the backfield like he can really opens up what you can do on the offense, because you don't know who's going to get the ball. You would assume it's going to be the running back, but it could just be Spencer Ware. He definitely has that ability.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I personally am hoping that having their availability, as well as what you can do with sprinkling in West, and maybe if Hunt makes it back, the second Hunt makes it back to the roster, I definitely want to see some more split back formations, because I think that creates better matchups for you as an offense as a whole.
All right, next question. S. Leone 44 asks, so if Mahomes comes in like he did week 17 and commands attention from defense with his arm strength, what does that do for the run game?
It only helps. What it does is it forces most teams, unless they have a couple of elite athletes that they feel can overpower the numbers, it forces them into an even box. Six blockers on six blockers if you have a tight end in there. It forces them into playing more cover two, because you are worried about the pass. You want more defenders back there. Normally, if teams are trying to stack the box, they're going to cover one or a cover zero, leaving one single high safety. And in the meantime, it also puts a little bit of pressure back on Pat Mahomes, easily with his powerful arm and the speed receiver that he has in Tariq Hill, as well as the athletic mismatch in Travis Kelce, gives him an advantage in man coverages because those guys can get behind the defense. It will push Pat Mahomes to be able to recognize different coverage shells and manage the windows that he throws into, which it brings a little bit more of a challenge, I think, for a young player.
I think it's really going to open up things for the offense, just because you are not going to be able to crowd the line of scrimmage like you're able to do against Alex Smith. Patrick Mahomes will make you pay with his arm. I really do like the thought process of being able to use his arm to really open up the running game, because it does open up the opportunity to run the ball more as opposed to less. So then you could really see, you know, what – I don't think it's out of the question to see Hunt and Ware get 750 yards next year. If they're used in a complementary role, I don't think that's out of the question. And I know Ryan would really enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. And anything for the offense, if you can get 1,500 yards combined, if you can get one of them maybe approaches 1,000, that's just gravy for this offense. It sets up your rookie quarterback with arguably one of the better arms in the league to use a lot of play action, which only makes his job easier. I think that's actually key in protecting him from having to take, 10, 12 shotgun snaps with the defense and their ears pinned back.
Yeah, definitely not a position you want to be in. But like we've said, with a QB that has his arm, I don't think that that's going to be something that Kansas City is going to have to be worrying about too much. Just because defenses are going to be scared, especially with Hill's speed on the back end. And you got other wide receivers. Conley's not slow, and neither is DeMarcus Robinson. So you're going to have other speed guys that can get down the field and really help stretch out the defense, as well as a healthy Travis Kelce running down the middle of the field and opening up things as well.
Man, I agree. It should be interesting and I think helpful overall.
All right. Next question. And this question is from Hub City Native. What will be EB's role in the development of Mahomes?
By EB, I assume we're talking Eric Bieniemy, not Eric Berry anymore. And it's going to be...
I would assume that as well. But I do think that there is... I do think that Eric Berry is going to have a role in this as well. But go ahead and talk about Bieniemy.
That's a very good point. But in terms of Bieniemy, I think it's going to be philosophical. Not as much X's and O's. Obviously, Bieniemy, not a quarterback whisperer, not a guy that's going to change technique or delivery. It's going to be more of a philosophical when to be aggressive, when to be conservative, when to get out of your own way and not try to compound things and make things worse by trying too hard. I think it's going to be a mental approach, strategic rather than technical.
When you took Eric Bieniemy, and that's where I think the question was going, but I'm going to take Eric Berry just because I do think that Eric Berry is going to have a big role in bringing up Mahomes. And what I mean by that is Eric Berry is going to see things on the field and see things that Mahomes is doing, and he's going to be able to help him from that aspect of a defensive player. But more importantly, I think that you've already seen that this team responds to Patrick Mahomes as a leader, and I think that Eric Berry is going to really help him in the leadership aspect of the offense, which is something that Kansas City really hasn't had because that is not who Alex Smith is currently, or has it ever really been. He's not a vocal leader, and I think that is something that Eric Berry is going to help Mahomes become more of in his time in Kansas City.
Yeah, and you know, think of it, you know, that old school trick, counter pressure, climbing between two walls. Have two leaders, one on either side of the ball, it pushes the team as a whole a little bit farther. I think that vocal leadership coming from your quarterback position is not to discount anyone else, but I think it's more valuable than coming from, say, a tight end or a running back or whoever you perceive to be your...
A wide receiver like Jeremy Maclin.
Sure, yeah, whoever you perceive to be your most elite player. Generally, that's who you're looking to lead, but if they happen to be at a position that's the quarterback and they're touching the ball every play and they're making all the calls, it just reinforces that more, and it gives Eric Berry a counterpart on the offensive side of the ball, and I think that can help this team as a whole in its outlook, again, in looking to be dominant and looking to be aggressive.
Well, and I also think it really helps with fire. If there's one thing that the Kansas City offense has looked like it's lacked at times, it's fire. And if you get a guy that is not afraid to go up and get in somebody's face and say, you know, and tell him what he's done wrong and get after him for it, that's going to be something that's really going to pay off dividends down the road. Last question of the night from K. Reger 55. I think Mahomes wins the game on the last drive. What say ye? On defense, is it the scheme or players or both? And is Ron Parker as bad as Pro Football Focus claims?
Yeah, that is three and no problem. Kind of a shotgun question here. If everything else in that game goes the same and they're in that same position on that last drive, I do think Patrick Mahomes can get them in scoring position and change that outcome. Whether him playing the whole game has allowed that to happen where you're that close, I'm not so sure. So that's where I see it.
Yeah, his playmaking ability definitely lends itself to coming up bigger in those types of situations. But you're right. It's the question of whether or not he could have had him in that position to begin with the way he would have played the first three and a half quarters.
As far as the scheme or the players, I think it is both. And I think it's one of those situations that either feeds on itself in a positive way and builds things up. A lot of times teams will take on the personality of their coordinator as well as their star players. But it can also have the same effect. Passivity out of your defensive coordinator has a tendency to reduce, I think, how well your top players can play. Again, another reason why somebody like Rex Ryan, like Mike Pettine, like somebody who is an aggressive defensive coordinator, I think brings out the best in this defensive talent.
I definitely think that there are going to be some defensive players that are going to need to be replaced. That's just the way that the game goes. But I think it's mostly scheme. I do think that it's too passive, like Ryan said. And, you know, Ryan and I have talked about for the past couple years at least, you know, the DBs need to be more attacking and more press man versus off man. And the obviously, Justin Houston needs to be rushing the passer more than you know, dropping into coverage. So I do think there's a lot of scheme there that needs to be fixed. And hopefully, you know, Sutton is not around to be the guy to try to fix that. But that's my own personal opinion. Last question is, Ron Parker as bad as Pro Football Focus claims?
Listen, Ron's not the greatest tackling safety in the run game, but he plays positionally well. He tracks players and the ball well. Generally in the secondary, in the open field, farther down the field, he is a reliable tackler. It's coming up to the line of scrimmage that he's not Eric Berry. He's never going to be. I like what Ron Parker does. I think he's underrated, both by PFF as well as fans. But at the same time, he's coming up on a big contract, and this might be one of the surprise cap casualties that we see because of how much money he's going to make, and whether they think they can find someone that fits whatever role they're going to have for less money in free agency.
I think Ron Parker is underrated, like you said, by Chiefs fans and by Pro Football Focus. The other thing that I think you have to really look at is he was in a very rough situation this season. You were basically paying safety with two guys that probably were not ready to play near as much as they did this season. And that's a very difficult place for him to be, because he's got to try to be the last line of defense in a lot of situations. And I think that he got a raw deal in the fact that Daniel Sorensen probably shouldn't have been playing near as much as he was. But the problem is Kansas City didn't have anybody else to put back there. And then you have, you know, Eric Murray, who had his ups and downs, and you have a Kenneth Acker who had his ups and downs. And, you know, you rotate those guys through. None of those guys obviously are Eric Berry, but none of them are really starter material right away anyway to begin with.
I agree. I'll have to look at them.
They're meant for reserve roles, and they couldn't play those reserve roles because of injury.
I haven't looked at his numbers yet, but Sorensen is a guy that I feel in 2017 did not play up to his contract. I don't see any way that he can play up to the value of his contract in 2018. I'd like to see them move on and find a more suitable player. And this is going to be the moment for Eric Murray in 2018, whether he can make the transition and fully become the safety that I think he has the capability to become. But he certainly had his struggles in 2017.
Well, I'm not so sure that they move on from Daniel Sorensen. I think they really like him for special teams and whatnot. But I think that his role greatly got expanded this year. And it's something that they were not hoping to have, but it did happen. And maybe you find somebody that can play better than he can, and he goes back to be more of a star special teams type guy, or, you know, playing his distinct role they want him to play, whether or not we think he's great at doing it. If that seems to be something that they want to do on a regular basis, and we'll have to see if the scheme is going to change that as well.
And that's a fair point. And as soon as we know something about anything that may be changing, we will certainly let you know.
And that's it for us tonight. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciate it. We will be back next week. Feel free to tweet us at Locked On Chiefs. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTracyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.